I'm going to start out, let's start with a word of prayer first. Dear God, thank you for this time and for your word. And I just ask that you put into my mouth whatever it is that you want me to say, and then let it go from me into the hearts of people who need to hear it. And whatever's not from you, let it go its own way. Amen. I wanted to touch quickly on something that Wayne said during praises and prayer concerns. In keeping pastors in our prayers as they prepare the Christmas sermon, so that hopefully the people who come just for Christmas will come back. And one thing that has brought such joy to my heart is the knowledge that God has guided me to over the past couple months, at least, maybe a year, that this is His time and not mine. And so I don't have to fret. So that prayer for the pastor should be for peace, I think, because God will bring the people who need to be here, and He will bring them back. And if we just let Him talk through us, then, boy, nothing else can go wrong. So, well, this week I get to come before you and give a sermon because our main MVP went down, and so I got to step up. And as I was talking to Jeff via text as he's in the hospital, I said, you know, it's not a problem. God will provide. He always does. And sure enough, that very day, He had provided for me what I needed to come up and talk to you about. So, Jeff has been touching on fellowship. And there were two ways that I could go with continuing on the topic of fellowship this week. The first way is a relatively short sermon, which is the way I'm going to go, which is pretty good because, you know, I have like 4 minutes left to talk. The other way was a five-part series on fellowship. And that will put Jeff out of a job, so we're not going to do that one. I'll let him continue that. But I wanted to tell you the story of what happened Tuesday morning. Tuesday morning, Lang and I were woken up to a wake-up call from the building inspector, which is one of the best people who can wake you up in the morning to talk to you. I hadn't seen him in a year, so I figured he was just missing me, but no, he just wanted to make sure that we hadn't forgotten about him and all the projects that we still have to have him sign off on. And that was difficult because it's not really a thing you want first thing in the morning, but I didn't want my wife to be stressed, so I put on my best face and said, you know what, of all the people who could call first thing in the morning to give you some sort of not great news, I'll take a building inspector over, say, you know, a police officer who tells you that somebody you care about is gone, or whatever the case might be. So it wasn't that bad, but still, I was feeling trepidation, and I was just unhappy, and I was worried, and so that morning I was just down, and the worst part of it all was, here was Jeff, who was going through this experience of having a heart attack, and what did I have to worry about with this building inspection? Nothing. And I knew that, and yet here I was, fretting over it, and again and again, God brings me back to that point where He says, you are a human being, this is you. Doesn't matter how much you know, it's your heart that's going to continue to do this until you change. And so I went on Twitter, and for those who don't know, Twitter is a place where you get to talk online, and you can only use 140 characters, so you have to make every word count. And I went on Twitter and I said something to the effect of, you know, no matter how much I know that I shouldn't worry, I still continue to worry, and it's discouraging, and it's just no fun. And I got a response back from a young man who I met probably 10 years ago via the cartoons that I used to do, and his name is Seth. And he tweeted me back, and he gave me some verses to look at. And he said, I know what you mean. I just read this verse from Matthew yesterday, and it was like a slap in the face. And so I want to read you that verse from Matthew today. And the verse from Matthew is from Matthew 6, 25 through 34. However, it begins with the word therefore. And any time, as we know, a verse begins with the word therefore, you need to know what comes before it. So I'm going to start at 19. And forgive me, it's a bit long, but just bear with me. Matthew 6, 19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be filled with light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, the whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And Matthew 6:25, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the fields grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grasses of the field, which are here today and tomorrow thrown into a fire, will he not clothe you more, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. It was a real blessing to me to get that retweet or that response via Twitter. And I responded back with one of my favorite verses, which I've shared before, but it's from James 1:2-4. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work, so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. And so I got to send that back. It was like a call to me, and then a response from me, and then he came back with yet another verse, and that's 1 Peter 1:3-9. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, a greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I don't know that I've ever read that last line before, the last two lines. So I want to read it one more time because it struck me whenever I received this. Though you have not seen him, you love him, and even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. It's just brilliant that we get to experience that, even though we're not done with this journey. Even though we keep worrying and we keep being humans, we get to get a glimpse of that inexpressible joy. And that's a wonderful thing. The point of my story today is the sense of fellowship. You don't know who you can touch when you greet someone and you give them God's word. I don't know that Seth thought that his tweet would eventually become a sermon that would be given to everyone here and everyone online. But that's what God does. He just takes what you did, which can be such a small little thing, and then he rolls it forward, and he just keeps that ball rolling, and it gains momentum, and it can do amazing things. So don't discount the little tiny bits of fellowship that you can stick into your day here and there, no matter what you're doing, how busy you are. It doesn't have to be a lot. It can be a simple verse that you share with somebody else, but it can make all the difference in the world. Because I have to tell you, that morning, the peace of God came over me, and the worry just kind of went away. Because it is what it is, and the building inspector will come and tell me what I have to do, and I will do it. And I will hopefully do it with a joyful heart. But as I said, it is what it is, so there's no point in me worrying. Amen.